in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode 207 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm very good. I'm watching two screens at the moment because I've got binocular vision.
We're just hedging our bets a bit here, aren't we? Because my laptop is just getting towards the end of its useful life, as will happen to all of us one day.
Speak for yourself.
you're getting closer than most. This table here looks a right old mess, but we're here, we're on air, we're live, coming at you every Thursday morning, as always.
Isn't that amazing?
It's pretty good, isn't it?
I've just done a course, mindfulness course, and this week was gratitude.
You presented the course?
I presented it.
Through paper aeroplanes.
No, they threw them at me.
How'd it go?
Very good. In fact, our Bright Mind cushions.
Clear Mind cushions.
It's the age thing you're talking about. Yeah. No, Clear Mind cushions. Right? I did a test with three different devices. So there was the Clear Mind, there was the wooden meditation stool, and then there was the standard Zephyr and Zarbuton.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 50% of people went for Chris's cushion.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool, man. That's good. Yeah. That's very good. Yeah, we've done an extra little ad there for Chris. But yeah, clearmindcushion.com. Yeah. Get 10% off with the code SELFHELP, all one word. There's a link in the email that we send out. If you don't get the email, head over to the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk, and put your email address in the box, and we'll send you little weekly alerts as soon as the show goes out, and you can decide whether you want to listen to it or not. No pressure.
Yeah, that's good. I'm just monitoring your voice on my meter here.
Oh, yeah, okay, looking good. See, waves on my one here are much more distinguished.
Yeah, but you've got a fat job at the bottom, whereas I've got my...
Let's not bore people too much about sound wave depth.
They'd be stunned.
We're talking about moving on. We've got a relationships one this week. It's been a while since we've dived into that topic, I think, but... What have you been up to in the meantime, Sean? What's new?
I've been doing all kinds of things. As we know, I've been to Qatar, and that has carried on because I've been seeing people online, which is good. And also, it seems to be my thing at the moment where people keep saying to me, could you come over and do this? So I will be over in Ireland on Friday doing bits.
Doing things.
And so, yeah. So it's an exciting time at the moment.
Jet set.
Yes. It's weird, the whole thing about flying and time flying, because I find it quite relaxing and calm. And to be able to sit down for a few hours on the plane and watch some movies and someone get you some food, and to me is a great thing to do. To have a problem with that, where some people that get anxious about it or worried about it, but for me it's like, I love it. Take me there.
Things are finally coming good for you, eh?
Do you think?
Yeah. You've been chiselling away at the cold face for years and years.
Yeah, and finally... As he gasps his last, people... yeah, come on! Yeah.
I watched a movie, actually, the weekend called The Founder, which is about the kind of McDonald's story, basically. It's got Michael Keaton in the lead role. Classic American kind of business tale, really. If people don't know the story, then watch the film. It's quite cool. I assume it's reasonably accurate. But he was one that made it kind of quite late-ish in life. I didn't get his age, but he was probably mid-50s or whatever, and, you know, he'd beavering away, going at it for years and years and years, and finally...
So there's a lovely book struck gold. By a guy called Michael Gerber, E-Myth Revisited, and it's about people setting up businesses, and he uses that whole model that they developed as a way of understanding business and how it works.
Wow.
It's really clever.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating that the initial bit actually went well. Watch the movie; it's great.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, it came at some kind of a lot of sacrifice as well.
Yeah.
But really cool flick. Should we crack on with this?
I think we should.
We had an email from a listener, which again we love getting those. And if there's anything you would like us to discuss on the show, we pretty much always manage to squeeze them in. What are you doing, leaning over me?
I'm looking at the difference in your screen and my screen.
Well, you got screen envy.
Yeah.
You can't have my screen. Get off it. You can't even look at it. But yeah, we've got a listener who's emailed in who's just come out of a serious relationship, and it was quite a shock and a sudden event by the sounds of it. Completely unexpected. Disappeared. He did, without any explanation or contact, which must make things doubly different, really. Usually, I guess, you'd kind of have some kind of knowledge or kind of at least a hint that things are going to happen. Not in this case. So it's left a bit of a hole and a bit of a gap. And so it says, whilst I am now learning to accept and live with the pain and disappointment, she's kind of getting stuck into meditation and, of course, listening to this show as well to help her through it. I would really love some advice on how to move forward. What techniques or advice can you give me to move on past this experience to bigger and better things? So now, you do a lot of couple therapy.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of therapy like this where it's game over? Or do you do you continue working with the couple separately when it finishes?
Sometimes. It depends on what's going on. If it's appropriate, I would. Because you built up such a relationship with both of those people. And
Take it personally when it doesn't work out, or do you know?
No. I think that when people get to the point of taking a relationship to therapy, usually at the outset, both of them have a clear understanding of whether they want it to succeed or not. And that could be changeable a bit, but it's a case of setting that ground at the beginning and then working, okay, what are we going to do? What's this about? And there's nothing wrong with, if a relationship is coming to an ending, using that therapeutic process to make that, like we talk about Brexit, hard landings or soft landings. It's the same kind of thing, you know, being able to do things the best that you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, in the situation as I understand it, we're talking about somebody leaving someone else. Now, we don't know the run-up to that or what happened, but if it is the way that it would appear from what I read, that effectively she's been abandoned by him. So he's gone.
Yep.
Yeah. And very often the person that does the abandoning has already worked through a lot of their emotional processes before they get to the point of announcing the fact that they're going.
Yeah.
So for them, it's very different. They've already worked stuff out, whereas for the person that's being abandoned, it's all a new thing.
It's all fresh, and it's like, whoa. Yeah.
And that's tough. The issue about... for her, what does she do? Well, from my point of view, she's a drug addict. She's
say it like it is. Yeah, don't hold back, Sean.
She's addicted to the relationship, to the person, to the love, whatever.
And I can get that. I mean, I haven't got a huge amount of experience here, but pre marriage and all that, I wasn't much of a man with the ladies, shall we say? But I did have a few girlfriends, and when a couple of them ended, it was, you know, because one did break up with me. Can you believe it? Someone left me.
No.
Yeah, but you know, you kind of, I don't know how to explain it really, but in some ways you want to hold on to it. You know it's over, but you're kind of holding on to this, the hurt in some ways, aren't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But what we're holding on to are, and it sounds a bit difficult if I reduce this down to chemicals in your brain, because there is a relationship between the chemistry in your brain and your emotions. It's not devoid of emotion.
Yeah.
But the issue is that we get hung up on a certain kind of chemistry that we get from the kind of relationships that we're in, that when those relationships fail, then we start to go into withdrawal. Now, one of the problems is, if we were going to be talking about heroin or cocaine or something like that, we would be saying, okay, to get this out of your system, you have to stop everything that you did previously that was related to it, which would mean you can't go back into social groups that still use that same drug.
Yep.
Yeah. So you have to change the people that you're mixing with. Now, if for her, the people that she knows as friends also know him as friends, and if she's getting vicarious messages about him through her friends, it really isn't going to be doing her any good, because it keeps feeding the need. Just like if you're a heroin addict, you're trying to get away from it,
yep,
and someone keeps waving a bag under your nose, you know, you want to go and do it. And that would be true on all kinds of levels. So things like social media.
Yeah, any little, just the faintest whiff of that drug was enough. Yeah. Even, yeah, a picture of on Facebook, yeah. Whatever.
But one of the problems with things like Facebook is that we have groups of friends, and very often the friends that we have are going to be associated with the person that we've just split up with.
Yep.
So they're going to keep reappearing. And one of the worst things ever is for people that are your friends but are also his friend to keep coming around and telling you what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's a really tough stuff, especially if he's having a good time, because we want to hear that he's actually on his knees crying his eyes out having a bad time and missing us like crazy. But if it's, no, he's having a really good time and I saw him and he was really happy, or he was with another person and they look really good, you know, they're all the kind of things you don't want to hear, you don't want to know, because it keeps feeding that addiction.
So doesn't that make it a bit easier in some ways? Because if you knew that your ex or the person that left you was having a bad time, and you'd be kind of thinking, oh, well, maybe there's a chance, maybe we can make it work again.
It depends on which way you come out, because some people say, well, you know, good job, good riddance.
Yeah.
You know, now they know what they've missed, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, which is all kind of valid. But it's a case of feeling like you're reclaiming yourself. And one of the bits that people never want to hear in these situations, but it's something which is very real, is that for our neurological systems and our emotional systems to embrace change usually takes a couple of years, which is a long time. That doesn't mean to say that you're at the bottom of a pit for 2 years and you suddenly climb out.
Yep.
It means that you're gradually getting out all the time, but it's when you look back.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, this is one of the first notes I made when we were discussing this, how much of the equation is just time? How much, what percentage is this just going to take?
That is true, but don't think of it.
What is?
the issue about time, you know, like the time is important, yeah. But the problem is not to confuse time with process, because you can spend a lot of time not processing,
okay,
or you can spend a short amount of time doing a lot of processing, yeah. And the processing is the important. And one of the worst things is that when you feel in that sense of loss and you're hurting, and clever dicks keep saying to you, oh, don't worry, time's a good healer, you really want to poke them in the eye. You don't want to go, yeah, fine, that's great. Yeah, they're not saying things that are actually helpful to you at that moment.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So how can you be productive with time then? We've mentioned we are cutting off ties with social groups, which is easier said than done. It's easy for us to say.
The way I look at it is that most things for me follow biological process. And the bit that I like, I've probably said this before on here, but it's very relevant again, is that when an embryo is forming, you have a mass of cells because they're splitting all the time. But then a group of cells, in some way that we don't really understand, suddenly get together and say, OK, we're going to become a liver. And another group of cells say, OK, we're going to become a kidney. Yeah, and those cells start to specialise and become those things. But in order for them to do that, they have to stop communicating with the rest of the body. And they won't start communicating with the rest of the body again until they are completely fully formed and can completely stand up on their own.
Yep.
So that the kidney doesn't get confused with the liver. They know that they're different. Yeah.
Keep talking. I'm not following you at all there, but keep going.
When communication happens too quickly, that's when you get deformity. Because the liver hasn't managed to complete its liverness. And it's got confused with being a kidney. So now we get deformed liver and kidney. Right. Now, when you're looking at people's emotional development, and this is what I would say to our listener, and say to anybody really, is that if you can stop communicating with the rest of the body for enough time, and this is process, for enough process, for you to form this new you, form this new being that you are in this new environment. And once you're solid and you're strong in this new you, now you're ready to start communicating again.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay? Because if you don't do that, it takes much longer, because you keep being bombarded by this other stuff which isn't helping you do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, and as well as, we've talked about ditching meet social media, that kind of thing, and even if possible, cutting off certain social ties with maybe friends or...
Sometimes you have to.
Is it a case of creating new connections too, you know?
I think, go back to the drug thing. If everybody that you know is doing Charlie every night, and if you keep going round with those people and you're trying to stop doing it, then it's really, really, really hard. Some people can do that, but not many.
Yeah.
They keep slipping back into the addiction all the time. And the problem that you have with a love addiction, you can actually go and buy a drug. You can actually go and buy nicotine, alcohol, heroin. So you can actually feed it. The problem that you've got in this situation is you keep driving the withdrawal and the need, the craving, but you have no way of fulfilling it.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I hear you.
So to actually separate out can be even more important than with drugs sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about forgiveness, don't we, in the show, well, in the series and in the book, Living the Presence.
Yep.
What stage does forgiveness come in, like, in everything early on? Well, the earlier the better?
Yes, but back to process. It's hard to forgive somebody if they're actually sawing your leg off at the moment. You know what I mean?
it's not impossible.
Yeah.
Does that need to be the goal, though?
Yeah.
Should it be the goal?
But once the leg's severed and you've had time to deal with it, then you can start talking about forgiveness. Yeah, it's like, how painful is something at any one moment?
Yeah, but the leg's off in this case, isn't it? So
yeah, yeah, but we don't know what the kind of healing of the wound is, do we? So we don't know how long ago this was. We don't know, and what the processing has been.
Yeah, and I'm sure. Well, you do all sorts of kind of soul searching, and you'll at some point blame yourself as well. I'm sure for, did I do this wrong? Did I do that? And that's where,
if only.
Yeah. That's where forgiveness isn't just to the sod that's done up and left, yeah, but it's also
to yourself,
forgiving yourself for not being perfect. It's all right to be perfect, right?
Yeah, but it could be that you actually were perfect, and the issues were to do with the other person.
Yeah,
you know, and there are other ways of looking at things like this. I mean, it would seem to me that if somebody decides that they don't want to be with you, you can spend your life bashing your head against a brick wall trying to make them want to be with you. Or you can accept the fact that actually this isn't going to work with this person. And once you've accepted that, that person actually is of no use to you at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you actually need to let them go.
Yeah.
And once you can do that and you can say, okay, I'm going to let it go, and then...
Then you can be ready for the awesome opportunities that
come along.
This new life may bring or will bring.
Yep. Most people coming out of relationships believe that they or feel like, I'm never doing that again, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the realities are, it's the 2-year thing. Within 2 years, most people are back into
a
mainline relationship again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when the ones that said, that's it, I'm not doing that again, ever.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a couple of links to share in the show notes on the website and in the email that we send out, which I will do so as ever. There was one list on personalexcellence.co, which I think we've gone through most of the points already. Just do the things you love. But maybe, I don't know, sometimes it can sound a bit obvious and a bit trite to say, I don't know, go flipping skydiving or go on a nice holiday somewhere, because that might not necessarily be the...
The
route to happiness, eh?
The chemical in your brain that you're most likely to be missing at this point is dopamine, which is the love one. There could be others, but dopamine is going to be predominant. And going and getting some dopamine somewhere might actually be quite good for you. So maybe jumping out of a plane isn't such a bad idea.
Oh, yeah. Give it a go. I'm just saying, why not?
Yeah. Wee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having a good time.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. So 2 years, we're thinking... In general,
it usually takes
quite a pattern with the folks you work with and see.
Yeah, all kinds of losses, whether it's redundancies, whether it's bereavement, whether it's retirement, you know, all kinds of things that people go through.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be 2 years, but think of it maybe not so much as time, but as process. You have to process this stuff through you and get to the point, sure, that you raised about forgiveness, being able to forego. Forgiveness means to let go.
Yeah.
To forego any retribution, any negativity, any horrible stuff, just to let it be.
Mm.
Yeah. And once you get to that point, then, things start to move fairly quickly.
Cool.
Yeah, but you do meet people. I guess we've all met people like this that maybe many years after an event are still in some horrible negative space and still have a lot of them and then.
Yeah, well, that's right. You just got to look around for examples of people that have done it right and done it wrong, because we all know people in our lives, don't we? Friends, extended family, whatever it is, that have had relationships that haven't worked out and they haven't dealt with it in the right way. So have a look around, and I can think of people in my family that, you know, haven't dealt with things the right way, and it's cost them, because, you know, they're happy enough, I guess, but you just see that they haven't followed the right path. And okay, it does take time, but it doesn't take, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, you know.
But some people never ever get over something, but that's because they ruminate on the negativity and they keep feeding it again and again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you feed grows, what you starve dies. Yeah, and if you keep feeding your addiction, then your craving gets ever greater.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that the negative rehearsal of somebody is as much feeding your addiction as the positive rehearsal. Mm-hmm. It's because you're focusing on that person. It's like if you focus on, I must not have a cigarette, I must not have a cigarette, I must not have a cigarette, then it's as bad as thinking, I'm going to have a fag, I'm going to have a fag, I'm going to have a fag. It's the same thing as the cigarette. Forget the cigarette, go and do something else.
Brad Pitt's single right now as well.
Is he?
Yeah.
You could drop in the line.
Just saying. Is he on Twitter? I'm not sure. We're taken, sadly, aren't we? Yeah, but...
Yeah.
That silly trite line, isn't it? Plenty more fish in the sea.
Yeah. But we all say that kind of stuff, don't we? And it was, you know, the better your devil you know keeps you locked into something that you don't want to be in. You know, is that any better than getting out?
Yeah.
You know, you could be more unhappy staying in something than getting out of something.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I mean, I wish the listener well. I wish her well. I hope that she manages to process this as quickly as she can.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't going to be instant. Do you need to go and have fun? Go and do other things. But overall, avoid things that are going to keep feeding that craving and the addiction and keep feeding back into that mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah, rumination is a really destructive thing. It kind of takes your head apart. You need to just let it go.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Okay, anything else you want to mention? Have you got a resource of the week?
I'm going back to basics. I'm going back to my good old tried and tested book, Nicroelastic, which is all about relationships.
Cool.
What colour is your Nicroelastic? Because if you're coming out of a relationship, it helps you understand why. And if you're getting into a relationship, it helps you understand how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's useful either way. But yeah, it's one of those things where we don't learn by other people's experience. We only learn by our own experience, which is a tough thing about being a human being. But now that she is at this point, there is a choice about creating life now. And either we're going to ruminate on what was or what will.
Yep. And summer's here.
Yeah, yeah.
So much to look forward
to. Saps rising.
Yeah.
Yep.
Life's good, innit?
Yeah.
I'm going to mention a couple of movies, because I love movies. And one is 500 Days of Summer, which is a kind of... It's a rom-com-ish from, I don't know, probably 10 years ago now. Blimey. With Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it. And it's a proper kind of bittersweet, melancholy kind of love story. It's one of my favourite movies. But yeah, he goes out with a girl called Summer for 500 days. And, you know, so you see the whole curve of the relationship, the amazing starting honeymoon period.
At the end?
I don't want to give it away. But yeah. No, it's, well, they got it for 500 days, so it doesn't last.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Donna would enjoy it. It might be a bit tough to watch in places for him, maybe. Yeah. But it does, obviously, well, not obviously, but it has a positive, optimistic ending, which I think would go down well. Another one is La La Land, which I don't even think's out on DVD yet. It must be any day now.
I haven't seen La La Land.
But it's brilliant. It's cool. In fact, it's actually showing in Chester over the summer in an outdoor cinema thing.
Is it?
So we should go watch that.
Yeah.
Not sure of the dates, but I'll find out.
Yeah.
But again, that's kind of bittersweet. You know, it's not, it just shows a... what relationships are really like, you know, it's not all sunshine and happiness, is it?
No.
Ups and downs and all that.
No.
They don't always work
out. It's real life.
Yeah, and you've got to enjoy it all, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I hope that was all right. Donna, if there's anyone else out there that is listening and would like us to discuss something,
yep.
Drop us an email.
Yeah.
Something. podcast@livingthepresent.co.uk, and that'll get through and we'll put it in the list. Livingthepresent.co.uk, yeah, is our website. I haven't asked for in a while. I haven't asked for an iTunes review.
Yeah.
Because I used to have this app that would alert me when people left a review, but it doesn't work anymore, and I don't think you can do it that easily.
Right.
I need to check for a start. But if you go on iTunes and find our podcast and leave us a review, preferably 5 stars, but you know.
4.5 will do.
4 will do, yeah. Anything less than that, send me an email. We don't want to go down the ranks, blimey. But yeah, if you could do that, that would be brilliant, because we used to say it all the time, and it used to help us bump us up the ranks.
We got to number one at one point.
To reach, yeah, we did. Yeah, we just gives us a little kick in listenership. Or just share it with the pal, you know, put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just try and, if you think someone would like this show.
Sounds good to me.
Share it out there.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week, as ever, and hope you all take care. Sean, have fun.
And you.
Bye.
Be happy.
See you later.
Bye.